Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The NBA basically said, carry this league into the next era. Do you even want that responsibility?
If they want me to carry the torch of the league, I have no problem doing that. I want people to say that LeBron James did it his way.
The third leading scorer, number two, all-time in scoring.
And now he's a legend.
The crowd wants it. James Fade, jumper, good! LeBron James is the NBA's new all-time scoring king.
As much as I tried to live in the moment, it was kind of a blur. I've been able to do some incredible things in this league, and hopefully I can do some more incredible things before I'm done.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
What a night it was. There was this hum in Crypto.com Arena from opening tip, an electricity that was sparked by a crowd that was just hoping to witness history. I mean, every time LeBron touched the ball, there was this swell of anticipation that culminated when he hit that fadeaway jumper with about 10 seconds left in the third quarter to break a record that many thought was untouchable. It felt like everyone, I mean, even Patrick Beverley, they whipped up their phones to capture the moment and save just a small slice to show their kids, their friends, their family, to be able to say, I was there when. And Bronny and Bryce James, they did that too, and they relived the moment through their lens with their dad in the locker room after their game. And their view of 38,390. It was just incredible. And to help further digest the night, Richard Jefferson, Zach Lowe, Chinne Agumake, that empty chair there is for Kendrick Perkins when he elects to join us. Two of you, including Perk, played with LeBron James. The four of us, we were all in the building last night. So let's head there now because it was pretty special. And you know when we knew it was special, Chinne?
When?
It's when LeBron walked in looking like that.
Precisely. It was like he was going
to
break.
That's when he was dressed to impress. And then he also had these headphones that said 38,388.
Here we go. Here we go. Vintage. Headband gang.
Headband gang. So then in the first quarter, LeBron, this was his first bucket. What did I say about the crowd? Every single time he touched the ball, it was like they were knowing that he was gunning for this. 20 points in the first half alone. And then you can see his sons.
Right here, huh? 16.8 points a quarter. Go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it. I'll get it. Yep.
So when he tells his kids, I'm going to go get it, he went out and got it. LeBron hits the three, 11 points away at this point. In the next possession, LeBron goes out. He hits another three, 8 points away. And then later in the third quarter, LeBron, watch him here, forces the turnover. The Lakers, they get out running. LeBron looking to get the ball back. Richard goes all the way to the cup.
Yeah, it was just smoothies. And that's about right when I got in the building. I was watching it in the first quarter at home. And I was like, let me see what he's doing. I was a little nervous when I saw what he was wearing. But after that first quarter, I was like, you know what? Let me get my butt in the car because it looks like this dude's about to do it.
He lays it in and now just 2 points away. I think this is the moment that the entire arena, you can see Kareem, everyone knows that it's going to happen. And here it is, LeBron James going to work. Chinne called it
midi.
A midi. There he is, the all-time leading scorer, LeBron James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with a front row seat to history. Celebrating with his family, with his friends, with the commissioner, and this was iconic.
Man, everybody that's ever been a part of this run with me the last 20 years, 20 plus years, I just want to say I thank you so much because I wouldn't be me without y'all. All y'all help, all y'all passion, all y'all sacrifices helped me get to this point. I would never, ever in a million years dreamt this even better than what it is tonight. So, man, thank you guys.
Put it on a t-shirt. LeBron, he finished with 38 points, celebrating with his mom, with his wife. Here he was after the game.
I didn't set this. This was not a goal for me. That's why it's probably so surreal and so just like weird to me, because I never ever talked about being an all-time scorer in NBA history. It's never even been a thought of mine until I start seeing my numbers get closer and closer. I was like, oh wow, this is kind of crazy. This is like, it's weird, but I guess I can do it, because I'm gonna be playing and I know I'm still playing at a high level, so it can happen.
To break the record, I was able to get to a really good spot on the floor where I'm very comfortable with, and get to one of my patented fadeaway shots. You know, and I know a lot of people wanted me to go to the sky hook to break the record, or one of my signature dunks, but my fadeaway was a signature play as well, and I was able to get it and it touched nothing but the bottom of the net, and that was pretty cool.
Kendrick Perkins is joining the party now. Now we can really have the festivities commence. Yeah. Richard, you weren't late.
What's the problem?
You were in the building.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
What was so crazy about watching him do what he does, and it's, you know, this is not about the GOAT debate. This is not about, you know, Jordan or Kobe. This is not about even if he's a scorer. It's the sustained high level of greatness that we have never seen before from any athlete. You could say Tom Brady. I would put Tom Brady up there. There's some other app, but it's just in the game of basketball, we have never seen it. And so to have a guy be pretty much world famous or internationally known at 16, 17 years old, and then to have all of the things that he has done over the course of his career for 20 years, and then just to be like, this dude is over-delivered, and he continues to over-deliver. And the fact that we're going to sit up here and just, this dude is going to have 40,000 points before he's done. That is something that doesn't even make sense. Mm. I can't believe it.
Perk?
Oh, it is about the GOAT conversation. It is about the GOAT conversation. I mean, for the fact you just said it, he over-delivered. The athlete, not just the basketball player, that had the most pressure in NBA history. Do I have to keep reminding people that I was part of Bron's journey, right? Throughout the AAU
season. That jacket is telling us that.
But I'm just saying, I was part of his journey. And look, we've known Bron to be a complete basketball player, the best all-around basketball player of all time. That's what everybody says. But now he has the scoring title. So what's next? Because he's answered all the questions, all the doubters. He shut them up. They say he didn't have the killer mindset. You have to have a killer mindset to have 38,000 points. Mm. You have to have some type of go get it in your system to have 38,000 points. So it's like, oh, he's not a scorer. Then what is he?
Yeah, I think, to Perk's point, that this is a little bit or a lot of bit about the GOAT debate, because a lot of the corrections that LeBron James has been making as of late when it comes to approaching this and conquering this milestone was, hey, I don't want to really be known as a scorer. And what does that imply? I want to be known as a player, an all-around player, if not the greatest player ever. And while he said, hey, you know, I'm going to always pick myself, you know, post-game after last night, the reality is his longevity, as you said, Richard, and also just being in the building, what he has brought to the table, doing this in a Lakers uniform, I'm not saying this is my pick here, but I'm just saying that when you, Malika, start this by saying iconic, we use that word. We overuse that word. It's very normalized. It truly was iconic what he did, the circumstances in which he did it, and also just the fact that score, like, you are number one here, but you also are an all-around overall player.
Top five in assists.
Exactly. Was it assists. Number four right. overall number in assists? Assist.
Yep.
Like, are you sleepy?
Why?
He was out late last night, I think. Don't put his business out there like that.
It was a
Zach,
celebration.
Where do you fall on all of this as someone who is watching this go down in the building?
Two things struck me last night. Number one, it was joyous. It was straight up joyous. And a lot of LeBron's career hasn't been a unified experience of joy. You mentioned the doubters and the haters. From the first time that dude made the right pass in the last seconds of a close game, a lot of the discourse around him has at times been negative and poisonous and all about this, is he that, and all pointing out whatever flaws people wanted to perceive in him. And then the heat thing, the Heatles, the introduction with the celebration and all that. He became a polarizing player. And last night, it was just joy.
Yeah.
Everybody was excited to be there. And I think it's because of what Richard said. Everyone can understand the enormousness of 38,000 points. The dedication, the physicality, the toll it takes on your body. Everybody can just, it's an awe-inspiring number. And I think everyone can get behind that. And the second thing is, it was super meaningful to me and probably to everybody there that Kareem was there.
Yeah.
And that Kareem was there to pass the baton, because Kareem is a statesman who transcends basketball. He's one of those guys, if you're a sports fan and he's in the building,
yeah,
you kind of do the double take of like, man, that's Kareem,
yeah,
Abdul-Jabbar.
Captain.
And for him to be a part of it, to me, was a big, big deal and marked the moment as significant as it was.
Yeah, we're so lucky. We have Kareem joining us live on this show in just a matter of minutes. The moment it happened, it was so wild. Like, I didn't know where to look, right? Because LeBron is at center court. He has tears falling down his face. Then there's Kareem over here. There's Jay-Z over here. There's his family over here. The crowd is going wild. His teammates are going wild. And I don't know what that's, other than like being in the, I've never seen a singular moment in that positive way. We saw it when he returned to Cleveland the first time in a negative way, but a singular moment in a positive way in a sporting event, focusing in on one person. And so I asked LeBron about that. Take a listen to what he had to say.
LeBron, I can only imagine still trying to process all of this, but when you are maybe thinking about, I don't know if it's a future grandkid or a child who is looking up to you and what you've accomplished, the story or the moment of tonight, what is that one thing that is sticking out to you the most?
I don't know, Malika. I mean, that's a great question. I just think the, you know, I love I write the man in the arena on my shoe every single night from Theodore Roosevelt. And tonight I actually felt like I was like sitting on top of the arena tonight when that shot went in, and the roar from the crowd. I'm not sure if I would be able to feel that feeling again, unless it's like a game-winning finals shot. But it won't be a stop and play. It's just, you know, everything just stopped. And, you know, and it gave me an opportunity just to kind of like embrace it and look around and seeing my family and seeing the fans and seeing my friends. And it was pretty cool. I don't really get to, I probably can count on my hands how many times I've cried in 20 years, either in happiness or defeat. You know, so, you know, that moment was one of them when I kind of teared up a little bit. It was I can't believe what's going on, tears.
There's just so much going on in this night to cover LeBron, that now we have to go to a completely different set with two completely different voices. A man who's played the most seasons in NBA history, he needs no introduction, Vince Carter, and Brian Windhorst, who's covered LeBron as long as anyone in the NBA media. And you two decided to match today. We're not going to focus on that. Vince, you were on the call for radio last night. What stuck out to you the most?
What stuck out? Outside of 38,388, I think about LeBron preparation for this game and the shot. Mm-hmm. We heard him talk about possibly doing the sky hook.
Yep.
And you see he was warm. I was standing right there watching him warm up, and I was like, okay, that would be a great way to pay homage to the captain. And then he sets himself up, you see here, at the free throw line, in the post, double team. I was like, oh, it was gonna happen. It didn't happen. And then the moment happened. And we were talking about it. He gets the post up at the free throw line, mm-hmm, instead of the sky hook, which is obviously vintage and Kareem's go-to. He goes to his go-to, one of his go-to moves, which is the fadeaway at the free throw line. It was just an unbelievable moment to see it. And you said something that I agree with. I was on the call and looking around the arena and trying to find a moment to focus on, like, oh, who do we watch? Is it Jay-Z or is it LL? Or Is it his kids or watching him? It's just so many things, cool things going on. And I'm just glad I was in the building.
But isn't that sort of what history can be at times, just sensory overload?
Yeah, but LeBron, it was amazing to watch the hierarchy, because when he hit the shot, his wife and children and his mother, then his closest friends and those guys who have been with him, Rich Paul, Maverick Carter, Randy Mims, those guys have been with him for 25 years. Mm. And then the Nike guys. Remember, he's been a Team Nike.
Yep. Forever.
Phil Knight, in his late 80s, doesn't come to many games.
No.
Phil came. Lynn Merritt. Ted Kirby. Nico Harrison. Then Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Then Magic. Then Kareem. You know, you, to make that list, you
Ty
had
Lue.
To really be... Ty Lue. You had to really be special to LeBron to make the list to get the hug during the intermission there. And I think that was really special. And it was awkward for his teammates, because some of them he's only known for a few months.
Yeah.
There's all these other people he's known for decades.
Yep.
But he's content. It's very hard to make LeBron James content. I've only seen him content a few times. He's content. And that was a special moment.
We're going to dive so much more into LeBron James over the course of our show. But real quick before we go to break, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they had the best seat in the house, because I talked to Josh Giddey after the game. He's like, well, we got to witness history and we won. And they played an excellent game. And you mentioned all of the people that were in the building. I was walking out last night and the rookie from the Bucks, Marjon Beauchamp, he was in the building. His agency got him tickets. And I said, oh, is like the team here? And he said, no, but we're already in town for our games coming up this week. And I've watched LeBron my entire career and I just wanted to be here.
He's 20.
I just wanted to
He's
be
20.
Here.
He's 20. LeBron's played 20 years.
Right. And that, to me, that was the moment when I was like, this entire walk of life just pausing to come and celebrate the greatness of this man. It was really something special. Still to come on our show, the festivities, they are going to continue. And we have a treat coming up next. The captain, the legend, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he joins the show live. And can you believe it? We're less than 24 hours away from deadline day. So who is going to be on the move? We're talking about potential trades in just a little bit. And Adrian Wojnarowski will join us with the very latest. Plus, we get our very first look at Kyrie Irving at Mavericks practice. So what we saw and how it may be a little bit of a preview of what's to come tonight in Crypto.com Arena. Stay tuned.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's, celebrating 150 years of the 501 jean.
Just a kid from Akron. Yeah, okay. Congratulations, LeBron. One of those things that, as a kid growing up, talking to my dad, who's a diehard basketball fan, would never thought that you'd break Kareem's record.
Congratulations, man. All this time I thought you were a better passer, but it turns out you're a great scorer as well. This is just a testament to your hard work, your energy, your effort, and the commitment you have to your craft. You keep rewriting history, defying the odds.
King James, congratulations on accomplishing an amazing feat. Congratulations on this huge accomplishment. And congratulations on being a hell of an example not just young basketball players, but young human beings everywhere, all over the world.
That's big time. To pass Kareem is outstanding. Crazy he's doing what he's doing at the age he's at, how much years he's been in the league. Definitely, you know, one of a kind.
What you do on and off the court inspires us all.
Congratulations, unbelievable accomplishment.
So once again, congratulations, all love.
We now welcome in a man who truly needs no introduction, the one, the only, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the captain. Thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. You've had a busy couple of hours this morning. You had a really excellent piece on Substack. And in it, you respond to comments directly by LeBron and by Magic Johnson. And I want to start here because LeBron, Magic Johnson claimed that breaking your record would be a hard pill to swallow. But how does it really feel for you?
I feel very happy for LeBron, something he's worked very hard for, and he's achieved it, and it wasn't easy. And, you know, these records, you know, the cliche is so true. These records were made to be broken. One player gives it all and, you know, and leaves it all on the court. And then it's up to someone else to show how much a human being can achieve or not achieve. That's why we keep the records. And that's why people come to the games.
And last night was so incredibly special. You also addressed your lack of relationship with LeBron in the piece, and you took accountability for maybe not making more of an effort to reach out to him. But regardless of that, can you just share with us a moment, a story from last night?
A story. Well, you know, so many people have the opinion that you just expressed that LeBron and I had some type of hostility going. It was nothing like that. Prior to being with him last night, I'd been close to him twice. The very first time was several years ago when I was in Cleveland during the playoffs, and I met him, and he introduced me to his mother. And then a couple of months ago, the Lakers had a Halloween doohickey for the kids, and I brought my grandchildren, and I saw him, and I said hi, and I asked him how Bronny was doing. And, you know, I had to deal with my grandkids and stuff. I didn't get a chance really to sit down and really get close with him. But there was, you know, it was just lack of opportunity. I have tremendous respect for what he does off the court. You know, on the court, everybody sees that. But things he does off the court, supporting his community. He's sending a whole school district to college by providing tuition money as a scholarship. This is incredible. And things like this are what make him one of a kind, a cut apart. Someone that rarely comes along, and someone that we should appreciate. And I think they did a good job last night.
What was the best part of last night through your eyes?
The best part of last night came when LeBron tried to acknowledge everybody, and he ran out of gas. You know, he was crying and didn't know what to say. He said, "What do you say when you do something like that?" They didn't have me speak when I broke Wilt's record. I'm glad I didn't know what to say. I was just glad my parents were there, and you know, just glad I could share that moment with them. My mom went and played the I forget the name of the game that she plays, but she went and lost a whole lot of money and had a wonderful time.
Well, hey, time with loved ones, that's what's important, right? I'm sure the lead up to LeBron breaking your record was incredibly busy, but you've made it very clear that your focus now, it's on social activism, and one of your current projects, it involves a new fan club. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, my fan club, it has to do with a commitment to excellence and passing the knowledge on from one generation to another. And the whole idea is to get the next generation to understand that they can succeed and they can excel. Just as I have succeeded and I have excelled, and I'm still working at it. This is something that all of us can do. And if you want to know more about it, you can go to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar .com and click on Club Skyhook, and it'll tell you all about what I'm trying to get done and explain some of the things this excellent black jacket that I wore last night is available. You just got to find out what you need to do to get it, and it talks about all of the things that happened in my career that are significant. There's a martial arts throwing star on there. It kind of relates to my affection for the martial arts. As you can see, it's the captain, and it has all of the things that I find are important and that point to. On the throwing star, there are the years when the team that I played for won the world championship, something I'll always remember. And I think that it conveys the right thing to people about what they can achieve.
Absolutely. Kareem, thank you so much for joining us here, but more importantly, for all of the work that you are doing.
Oh, thank you. And again, you know, shout out to LeBron. You did it the right way, brother. We all appreciate it. The way you did it, we appreciate it.
Certainly, those of us who are seated on the sidelines do as well. Kareem, thank you so very much. So Kareem's record, it certainly felt like it could withstand the test of time. It took LeBron James 14,053 shots over 20 years to surpass the captain. And if you're wondering what exactly that looked like, well, we can show you. Because, Perk, this is pretty incredible. This is every shot this man has ever made.
Oh, my goodness.
And you see how many paint points? Like,
yeah.
Six. Like that's
what I'm saying. Of course, my post players are.
6'9", right? Dominate. No one could ever say that LeBron settled throughout his career.
Look,
like,
as he evolves, don't you see the, you know, yeah, the lights coming back?
Yeah, but we got to talk about
my
dominance.
Goodness.
Okay.
The domination.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Look
and
at
so
it.
Is this graphic. I mean, Vanna Bouchong and Kurt Goldsberry did an excellent job with this because this is greatness. LeBron
a lot of
James.
Shots is what it is. It's a lot of shots.
And imagine how many happened that were not recorded, right?
Right. To go in to get this, to yield this to
exactly.
Yield that moment.
That's exactly how my section look in the club.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, folks, fireworks.
Whenever there's a moment like this, I always look forward to seeing the viewpoint of the photographers, and we all have our favorite photos of NBA history, right? And oftentimes, it's the legendary Andy Bernstein who's behind the camera. Last night was no different because Richard, get out of the way.
I want to talk to you guys at home for a second. Malika, I got this.
Okay, you got this. You go ahead.
If you go back and look at the Jordan photo, right, you got Byron Russell on the floor. You see all the people's faces. You see these iconic moments. Do you know what I see when I see this iconic moment? I see nothing but cell phones. I can't see who this person is. Hey, I'm in the photo. I'm in an iconic photo. Look at these people. You can't even see. I can't see your face. You know why I can't see your face? Because you got a phone there. Come on, people. You could have been a part of, like, see this guy? He's a part of the picture. Come on, let's zoom in here. Listen, he's a part of this picture. He's a part of this picture, right? Right? We got a couple people that are part of this picture. But there's people, you can't even see your faces. People, you had a chance to be a part of one of the most iconic history in sports. So you don't want to know, I want to give you some inspiration. We're going to go down. Do you want to know who I want you guys to be like? One, we're going to start in. Jimmy Goldstein. You guys know Jimmy Goldstein? Jimmy Goldstein's watched every basketball game in the history of basketball. One of the great men in our sport. He doesn't have anything. He's just sitting there soaking in the moment. You can see Jimmy Goldstein. Do you know who else we see? Phil Knight. We see the king, the man, the one that started it all, the one that helped create so much marketing. This guy he helped save the NBA, right? When you're talking about Jordan, you're talking about all the things that he did, building brands, Tiger Woods. Where is this man standing? This man is standing right here, just sitting in there, soaking it up. So I ask you, if you ever find yourself in an iconic moment again with an iconic chance, I just beg you, as all of my clowns right here are just staring in this phone. Look at them. Look at these guys. Look at these guys. Get this camera over there. Look at them. Look what these idiots are doing.
This is a moment.
This is a moment. But I'm telling you, enjoy this iconic moment that I'm giving you. And I'm saying, in a world of crazy phones and all of these ideas, you know what you should do?
What?
Be like my guy Phil. Be like my guy Jimmy Goldstein. I don't even know who this guy is, and you can kind of see.
But we gotta give Brian and Bryce a pass.
Yeah, they're like, I don't, Gen Xers, millennials. I don't even know what range they are. Be like boomers in this moment is what I'm basically trying to say.
Be like boomers.
Be like boomers
Got
in this moment.
Thomas but I'm going to put it on a bumper
No,
sticker.
No, we're not going to talk about Thomas Bryant putting his hand up. I was going to ignore that. I don't give a damn what he wanted.
Thank you, Richard. I'm glad we have this all captured
every
now.
Every single time someone shot the ball that wasn't named LeBron James, the whole arena went, so I'm like, this right here, he's just doing his job. He's a professional. But, you know, that's for show. That's like the
Do you want us to text you this video?
Or? Yeah, please text it to me for social.
Well, good, because we're nowhere near done with the Lakers today. We were going to bring in some help, potentially, for LeBron James.
No.
Who might be traded? We're going to talk about that shortly, Richard.
Oh, they can trade everybody now.
And hey, Vince Carter, it's Wednesday, but where are we headed?
To the Upper Room, baby!
An all LeBron James edition of the Upper Room. And we've also got to show you the first look at Kyrie Irving and what he did at Mavs practice yesterday. A sign of some things to come tonight, perhaps? We're talking Kyrie shortly.
Yeah, that's in there.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and the NBA trade deadline is quickly approaching. We'll have not one,
not two, not three, not four,
but 5 hours of up-to-the-minute trades and analysis from all of our insiders around the league.
The asking prices are really high. Do you make a deal?
Why would we assume the drama is over?
Why would the Jazz do that?
Don't miss NBA Today's trade deadline special tomorrow, February 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
We are now less than 24 hours away from the NBA trade deadline. We are getting close, folks. And with that, we welcome in our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. And Woj, let's start with your reporting about a heated exchange between Russell Westbrook and Darvin Ham last night. What more can you tell us about this incident and the aftermath?
Yeah, Malika, at the end of the second quarter, when Russell Westbrook was subbed out of the game by Darvin Ham. He was slow to get to the bench, to get to his seat on the bench. And Darvin Ham challenged him on that in the locker room at halftime. And there was, I'm told, you know, a heated, you know, fairly loud exchange between Darvin Ham and Russell Westbrook in the locker room. And there's a lot of frustration in that locker room. Losing to Oklahoma City, a team that very much they needed to beat last night as they try to get into at least the play-in picture in the West. Again, you know, they eventually the subject changed back to the game, I'm told, in the locker room. And then in the fourth quarter, Darvin Ham closed the game with Russell Westbrook. He had a season-high 14 of his 27 points last night in that fourth. I was told the two of them dapped it up on the way out of the arena at the end of the night. And listen, we are getting close to the trade deadline here. Russell Westbrook remains in conversations, but I think as much as anything, a product of the frustration with this Lakers team right now, that despite a historic night last night with LeBron James, this is a team that's season is very much in peril as they try to get themselves in the playoff position. They're two games now out of that final 10th spot in the West to get in the play-in.
So, Woj, with all of that, as we approach the deadline, where exactly do the Lakers stand in those trade talks?
Listen, they remain engaged all over the league, like any number of teams who are trying to improve ahead of tomorrow's deadline. One player that they've talked about in the past and have been engaged with again today, D'Angelo Russell in Minnesota. They've had some conversations on perhaps some multi-team trades that would potentially land them Russell. They've been certainly in that point guard market out. There's other interest in Russell, and I think Minnesota's a team, and it's not going to easily give him up. He has played well for them. They have talked about an extension with him here in the last couple months, perhaps a short extension, but I think this is a player who I think there's going to be further conversation about, along with Mike Connolly in Utah, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, certainly those players. And, Bojan Bogdanovic remains a player that the Lakers very much covet, and the asking price for them so far has been too high in Detroit. But, the idea of bringing back D'Angelo Russell, who obviously started his career with the Lakers, that's a conversation that has been going on today, I'm told.
Woj, thank you. We will continue to check in with you as we get closer to that trade deadline, and we will see you tonight on NBA Countdown. Bringing it back into studio here, Ramona Shelburne is joining us now. What does that incident between Russell Westbrook and Darvin Ham, what does that illuminate about what's going on with this Lakers team?
Well, this situation with Westbrook has been going on all year, but right. It's been particularly tense lately. And if you've noticed, Darvin Ham has not played Russell Westbrook at the end of games a lot lately, especially in that New Orleans game. I know he had a good fourth quarter the other day, but in the last 3 minutes of the game within five, Russ hasn't played six times. The Lakers are 5-1 in those games. Now, they've had 28 games like that. That means they're 9-13 when he does play. Russ is the kind of guy, when he sat out and he was benched at the end of a game last year, that was a big moment for Frank Vogel when he benched him at the end of a game. And this has been going on a while. And you saw Anthony Davis yesterday. I think there were a lot was made of the videos going around about Anthony Davis. He looked a little listless on the court. He didn't seem like Anthony Davis. I checked with somebody close to Anthony Davis and said, what's going on with him? And I think this situation with Russ and the argument at halftime, I think that affected all the players on the team. For a night that was supposed to be about LeBron James, that sidetrack people and sidetrack the emotion of the moment.
You can see that moment that you're talking about right now. But Zach, what are you hearing about Russ, about the Lakers in this moment?
Last night, other than the record, was like a disaster.
Yeah.
The Thunder just had a layup line to the basket the entire game. And the Lakers are now four games out of sixth and seventh in the West. They're two games out of the play-in, but the gap between them and home court advantage in the play-in is getting bigger and bigger by the loss. And as for Russ, I think the home run trade is gone. Mm-hmm. But I do think they're still exploring ways to trade him and maybe one pick for some roster upgrades. I would keep an eye on Utah, for instance, as a place where that could happen. Mike Conley and some stuff. But that's a tough decision for the Lakers. Is a half measure like that actually worth it? Woj mentioned D'Angelo Russell. Is a half measure for D'Angelo Russell actually worth it? Is that going to change the outlook of this team and make them a contender? Because they're starting to fall pretty far back right now.
Here's the bottom line for the Lakers. Do they just keep Russell Westbrook, finish out this contract, get to the summer with cap space, or do they make a trade and bring in a player or two that could help them maybe get from 13th to 10th?
Right.
It seems like it would be easy, but it's a complicated question. They've been asking themselves for it for months. I don't think they have clarity yet, and the clock is running out.
Yeah, essentially they have a day left to decide because we are quickly approaching that trade deadline. We will have you covered with 5 hours of an NBA Today special. When we return today, though, it is the moment that you have all been waiting for. I can't do it as well as Vince does it, but I'm going to try because we're headed to the Upper Room, baby. It's an all LeBron edition next.
Once I turn the corner and I can get my 1-2 down, there's not too many guys that can get up there and jump with me.
As a defender, it's a split second, and if you make the wrong decision, then that's what can happen.
Dunking a basketball is one of the best plays to get the crowd to the game.
Lights, camera, action, wanting to walk through the dome.
Yeah, too much money to count. What's the amount? 10 of a bounce. I got a pen to add it up and pay some.
Here comes Edmund!
Yeah!
Inside!
Playing with us, that's negative. Go back to start, that's negative.
are we headed?
The upper room.
Oh. All right. Well, based on the photos that I saw from Jim Ice, LeBron's after party last night, it was something else. So he deserves an entire wing of the upper room dedicated to him. So as a reminder of how this works, each of us will humbly nominate to the one and only dunk god Vince Carter one dunk of LeBron James, and he gets to choose one and only one for that bottle service. Chinee, you pop the cork
Vince,
first.
Vince, you're looking good today, man.
Get it.
All right, how about this? The goal of every great dunk is to create a poster. Mm. And no better poster than 2010, first year of the Heatles, and we got the photo.
The photo.
The photo, iconic, Vince.
The photo.
And the dunk, and didn't we just say LeBron James' signature is the tomahawk?
But the photo.
Richard, your time will come.
Ooh. The photo's dope, but the dunk.
Is the photo better than dunk?
Yeah, the photo's way better than
tomahawk.
The dunk.
It's his signature tomahawk.
Photo's better than the dunk.
It's nice.
Doesn't matter. You're
Zach, can you top that?
How about the whole point of a dunk is to jump over a dude and then dunk like you did in the dunk of death in the Olympics? John Lucas, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Oh, no.
He's 5'6".
Richard.
People.
Did you ever jump over a dude in a game? He jumped over him.
All the time.
All the time.
Look at, like, look at that.
It's like jumping over Malika.
Now, it's not Frederick Weiss. He's not that tall, but that's not tall.
Over a 7-footer. Come on.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Not bad.
I like that one. Perk, who you got?
Hey, you know when you dunk and you right put somebody in your side pocket?
Uh-huh.
This would bring it up. Run the tape. Here we go right here. Right here on this good friend, you know who.
You know what?
Sorry.
Johnny Bag.
That moment, he knew he messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, he knew that said, keep him in your
somebody
side pocket.
Somebody get that little baby
out the street. Watch as the clip run. Watch as the clip run. Check this out. Check this out for a second. BC, hey, look. Look
who. Yeah, look.
This is Richard's equipment. Richard, what you got? Can you top that?
I don't know. I call this late, so I got to pick last. But it was show today. Oh, yes. Listen, Kevin, I love you, brother. And my gracious. Man. But that's just, you know, there's some brotherly love there.
Oh, no.
You knew you made the wrong decision. You had the longest example of anybody. You knew you made the wrong decision. I'm not voting for mine, Vince. I'm nominating Damon Jones, who's still his little pocket guy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, D. Jones.
What is it?
Hey, his little pocket guy.
All right, well, I'll pick up the rear then.
Kevin Hart. He's
2013.
Got a little Kevin Hart cracking jokes behind him.
2013, Jason. You know what I'm talking about. When there is a Wikipedia page, Wikipedia page says this was your time of death, then that's when it's really scary.
JT, I wouldn't do this to you, JT.
Oh, no.
Arizona, brother.
And there were levels to this. This was revenge after the match. You know, like,
after JT torched them, you know, Dallas when the championship, JT, I'm going to protect you, bro.
There are levels to that.
There are levels that was monsters. That's monsters.
Although I think Perk just flexed his chest a little bit.
And then he walks to him and looks at him as he lays there.
That's Gordon Lee just helping him.
Was turned around.
Who gets that elite bottle service?
You don't put the little pocket
boy. You're going to be tough to beat there.
Why does this segment sponsor?
Okay, so we get drum roll, please.
Very good.
Thank you.
But,
oh, boy.
Jason Terry, welcome to the upper room.
Come on.
Come on.
Hey. What do you mean, come on?
What do you mean? Watch this.
He was in help two times and then turned
around. Wait, he gets to go in the upper room too?
He's in the
Jason Terry?
He's in the lower room.
I feel like we should have a draft to our dunk.
Damon Jones.
No, you know what I'm saying? My delivery, everything about it was.
That's why she asked for
it. No, we need a draft. We need like a timeline.
I thought it was exceptional. And now I think that means our all-time leading scorers.
I'm not even on the board.
Malika, you get to pick first.
Yeah, you
your
produce
show.
The show.
Listen, America, we're
Thank
not going to let y'all. She gets a call at 7 a.m. because she's
Thank
one
you.
Of the hardest working people I've ever met.
And you're also we welcome
call,
to join.
We have our call at 8:30. I got kicked off the 7 o'clock call.
You know what happened?
I had to be on the
Still
8:30.
To come on NBA Today.
We need to pick first.
Kyrie Irving make his Mavs debut tonight. The latest on that front on the other side. Vince, here's your $20, bro.
Where'd my mic go?
Wow, bribes.
She's holding it.
Oh, do you have my mic?
Yes, I have your mic.
I was like, where's my mic?
NBA Today is presented by Levi's, celebrating 150 years of the 501 jean.
It's time for Put It In Work, presented by Upwork. Kyrie Irving, he had his first practice with the Dallas Mavericks yesterday, getting ready for his team debut as they visit the Clippers tonight on ESPN. The All-Star said after practice, he felt he, quote, really wanted, he was really wanted by his new team, a stark contrast to feeling, quote, very disrespected at times during his turbulent three-and-a-half season tenure with the Brooklyn Nets. So his debut, it should make for great theater on tonight's ESPN doubleheader. It starts in Boston with Jason Tatum and the Celtics hosting Joel Embiid and the Sixers at 7:30 Eastern. And then it's the Mavs. They take on Kawhi, Paul George, and the Clippers. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown on ESPN and the app. So we are counting down officially. The clock is ticking towards the trade deadline, just over 23 hours away. And our Adrian Wojnarowski, he is reporting on some discussions that are now starting to bubble up around Russell Westbrook. Zach, get us ready for the trade deadline. What is it the most important thing to know?
Yeah, Woj is reporting the Lakers are on the hunt for a point guard. Maybe it's D'Angelo Russell with Mike Conley going to Minnesota. I think that shows they're going to put one pick at least in the kitty here and see what they can get. Is it a half measure? Will it work? And the interesting thing is D'Angelo Russell has no money due next season. Mike Conley does. That's an interesting thing for the Lakers cap space. Keep an eye on the Raptors, too. The whole league is keeping an eye on the Raptors.
Ramona? Guess who's also looking for a point guard? The Clippers across town. Would you love to see them talk to Toronto into Fred VanVleet? He's a free agent this year.
Mm. Yep. And there it is. The clock is ticking down. The next time we will see you is at 10 o'clock Pacific,
1
o'clock Eastern, 5-hour trade deadline special. That's a mic drop. We will see.